And I'm joined right now by Curtles manager Brian Dinkelman here for the Real Sports Hour on this Friday. Coach, it's always great to hear from you. First of all, I know that it's been a couple weeks since you guys had already qualified for the playoffs. But, you know, I know you and I talked at that time for a little bit. But, you know, how big you guys have started the second half. You're, I think, 12 games into the second half. First off, what has it been like, you know, adjusting to it? Because normally we're used to the first half, and then you have the All-Star break, then you start the second half. But it's a little different right now, the way that the schedule is working out. So, I mean, is it a big adjustment or not really? Or what can you say about that?
Yeah, it's a little bit different this year just because the first half ended right in the middle of a series or homestand with the team. So, like you said, usually you play your first half and then you have the All-Star break and then start the second half. So it was a little bit different with that part, but, you know, it was good for us to make the playoffs and win the first half there. And, starting the second half now, got a little bit of a rough start, but, some guys banged up a little bit, but we're starting to get healthy again. So both the guys are ready to come back now and contribute and win some ball games.
And I know I asked you this before, but when you can win a playoff spot in the first half, I mean, how big is it to just kind of get it out of the way and knowing that you already secured something? Of course, the team may look completely different, you know, in September, but how important is that where you can, I mean, you're always focused on these guys getting better, but what does it do where you can get it out of the way in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can qualify for the playoffs is exciting, and you know, to get it done in the first half and, you know, kind of gives you the second half there to let guys play and, you know, get better and still want to win ball games, but it's not your main focus at that time. And then see who was here when September rolls around and see if we can win a championship.
You mentioned you've had, you know, it's been a bit of a rough start here in the second half. Just kind of take me through some of the, you know, like you said, there have been guys that have been banged up, just some things that you've had to deal with, but like you said, it seems like you guys are starting to get a little healthier and might be back to full strength here.
Yeah, you know, we had a tough road trip up in Wisconsin last week. You know, we had a few guys out who were sick with COVID and another couple guys who were hurt. So, but with guys coming back now and kind of getting back to our full roster, hopefully get back to winning some ball games. And we played well last week, just fell short couple of those games, so continue to play well and see if we can win some more games.
Well, one bit of good news has been Christian Encarnacion Strand, your third baseman. He was named the Midwest League Player of the Month for June. I know we've talked about him before, but what continues to impress you about him and how he keeps finding a way to swing the bat and what, you know, it seems like he's showing still why he won that honor.
Yeah, he continues to play well. You know, second time he's won that award this year. You know, drives the baseball well. He's done a better job of not expanding the zone and taking his walks and not striking out as much. But when he makes contact with the ball, it's usually pretty hard and drives for extra base hits. And, you know, he's had a nice season so far and hope he continues it here for the last couple months.
You mentioned that he's not striking out as much. What's he doing differently at the plate, maybe, would you say, right now compared to maybe at the start of the year?
Yeah, I think he's just understanding the strike zone a little bit better and knowing what pitches he can do damage on and doesn't feel like he has to chase everything and try to hit everything. So, you know, whenever you expand the strike zone and chase pitches that they want you to swing at, you know, he's done a better job of that here the last month or two. Gives him a chance to look for pitches over the heart of the plate, and usually when it's over the plate, he doesn't miss those too often.
Is that one of the biggest things that you have to teach guys nowadays is, you know, learning to expand the strike zone? Because, as we say, you know, with the game changing a little bit with, you know, launch angles, home runs, and stuff, you know, how is it still tough to teach the guys, you know, learn to take the walks as well, you know, expand your strike zone? Even though you want to swing hard, you got to have that discipline at the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever you start expanding the strike zone, you just can't do as much damage as what you want. When you get pitches over the plate, a lot of these guys are good enough hitters that they're gonna drive baseballs and hit balls hard when they're over the middle of the plate. So once they learn kind of where their limits are, how far they can go up or down or out of the strike zone of pitches that they do the most damage with, and that's when they kind of become good hitters and can kind of minimize their chase rates.
Well, let's talk about a couple of former colonels that got a big honor. Two of them have been selected for the Major League Baseball All-Star Futures game. You have Matt Wallner. He was with you guys last year. And then you have Spencer Steer with you guys a couple of times, first half last year, beginning of last year, and then kind of the end of 2019. Let's start with Matt Wallner. He was with you guys most of the season last year, and we saw the power. And he continues to show it, even in Double A with 20 home runs so far. Seeing Matt Wallner, how natural is that power? I guess what makes him such a dangerous hitter that he's still finding ways even at each level to show off that power, and this one of the reasons why he's been invited here to the Futures game.
Yeah, you know, he's got big-time power. He's a big kid. He's like 6'4", 6'5", strong. And when he was here last year, I mean, he had power. Ended up getting hurt there halfway through the season and missed a couple months. And even when he came back, he just didn't look healthy the last couple weeks of the season. But I think now he's fully healthy over kind of the wrist injury he had. You know, he's having a nice season up there, hitting 20 home runs already. You know, it's big-time power for any player. So for him to get that honor to go play in the future game is exciting for him.
Well, what was the big thing when he came here? I mean, did you guys know about the power? What was the big goal when he first came to Cedar Rapids of helping him get to that next level?
Yeah, I think the power was always there. You know, with him being such a big, strong kid, just trying to help him become just a better hitter. And I think the more balls that he can square up, I mean, the more power he's going to produce in the lineup. So you know, he's had a nice job this year. I don't think striking out as much as what he was, and making more solid contact and kind of leading a little bit more production for him.
Well, and then Spencer Steer's another one. Right now he's up in AAA, a third round pick for the Minnesota Twins back in 2019. As I mentioned, he was with the Colonels two different times, played 44 games in 2019, and then started out the season with you guys 45 games before being promoted to a Double A. For Spencer, what were some big jumps that you saw when he first arrived in 2019, and then we had the COVID year, but when he was started with you guys in 2021, were there some big differences that you saw in him between the 2 years?
Yeah, I think when he first got here, he was always a good contact hitter, line drive hitter. Put the ball in play. And then last year, I think it really jumped out the way his power increased. He was still making solid contact and taking walks, but I think he ended up hitting almost 15 home runs for us, and then continued to do the same thing when he got up to Double A. So you know, he's not a real big guy, but he's strong, and I think he's up to almost 15, 20 home runs again this year. So can play multiple positions and has good at bats, and you know, he's made himself into a really good player, and it's exciting to see him play in that Futures game also.
You know, I mean, of course, you're definitely focused on your duties here in Cedar Rapids, but how often do you still get excited when you know, guys that played for you in Cedar Rapids are doing well even at the next level, but get an honor like this, like Spencer and Matt are?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get to see some of the players that have come through here and, you know, get the chance to play in that Futures game or make it to the major leagues, it's always exciting. Just because you get to know who they are as a person and get to see them progress in their career, and you know, because they're reaching that ultimate goal of making it to the major league. So excited for both those guys to get this opportunity, and hopefully one day they make it up to the big leagues also.
Well, can you, as a former player yourself, I mean, for those that are wondering, you know, oh, Futures game, it's not the All-Star game, but this is a big deal when it comes to the rising stars, basically, that aren't major leaguers just yet, but you know, they believe that they are going to be future major leaguers.
Yeah, this is kind of the top game for minor league players, is this opportunity to play in this game, because like you said, these are who they think are probably going to be the next group of guys and make it to the major leagues and, you know, have long careers hopefully, and for a chance to play in this game against other really good players, it's a good experience for all those guys.
Well, for you, what's the big message right here? You still got a few more games before the All-Star break, but you know, what's been the message in the second half of the season? Like you said, you're trying to get healthy again, and it seems like you're headed in that direction. But you know, what's been the big focus for the Colonels, even though you guys have already secured a playoff spot? But what's the big message right now as you try and bounce back here in the second half?
Yeah, just continue working hard, make yourself a better baseball player every day, and you know, continue to go out and play hard and try to win baseball games, but also become better baseball players and learn the game at the same time. And get to the All-Star break here and then see how things go for the rest of the season into the playoffs.
Well, I think I saw today was the day that officially the tickets went on sale for the big game up at the Field of Dreams game for you and the Quad City River Bandits. Is that still kind of in the back of your mind? Is it kind of hard to not think about that? That's less than a month away here where you guys are going to be playing on the iconic field.
Yeah, I think the guys are excited for it. You know, we haven't thought about it too much yet, but I know the guys are looking forward to that game here in a few weeks, and it'll be a good experience for everybody to get to play on that field and underneath the lights out there in the cornfield. So it'll be a fun evening.
Yeah, have you had a chance to, you know, ever since you heard the news, did you start maybe trying to find a day to maybe watch Field of Dreams again, just maybe, you know, just with the announcement and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure I'll probably watch it here at some point before we play in that game, just to remember the movie and, you know, how iconic it is out there at that ball field. So it'll be fun that night.
Oh, it definitely will be. But Brian, one thing I wanted to – Brian Dinkelman, Colonels manager here on the Real Sports Hour. One thing that I've noticed, Brian, I know you've been with the team a very long time as a manager and a hitting coach. And when we see the Minnesota Twins lineup, it's amazing how each and every year we're starting to see more and more of this roster just being filled with former Colonels that went through the Twin system. I mean, for you, what is that like to see? Even though maybe you didn't get a chance to coach some of these guys in the early parts of the affiliation, but I mean, you've coached most of them or seen most of them throughout your career with the Colonels. What is that like for you, where you're seeing a majority of this roster that has gone through the system, been through Cedar Rapids, and now they're helping the Twins in the AL Central, and you know, the Twins are one of the top teams right now, at least in the American League right now.
Yeah, it's exciting because you know, you get to know those guys, and you know, that's part of the player development, is helping these guys get better and then hopefully reach that goal of making it to the major leagues. And you know, I feel like the Twin system does a good job of producing players that make it up to the major leagues and help produce. Like you said, that lineup they put out there every night, there's a lot of former Colonels in there. So that's always exciting to see.
And how about for your guy Tommy Watkins, too? What's it like seeing him have success up there, too?
Yeah, it's fun to watch Tommy up there, coach third base. And I know he does a great job with those guys. And be able to coach with him for a year here and then now see him up there in the big leagues helping those guys out and win ball games is always fun to see, because I know he does a great job and he did a good job while he was here as the Colonels manager and hitting coach. So happy for Tom.
I'm trying to remember. So were you with the staff when Luis Arraez was with Cedar Rapids? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, in 2016, I was the hitting coach here.
Okay.
Whenever he was here with us.
Yeah, so he's leading the league right now in batting average, if I'm not mistaken. Can you take me through Luis when I think he was the league offensive player of the year, or trying to remember when he was with the Colonels that year?
Yeah, he won the batting title.
Batting title.
In 16, yeah. I want to say he hit like 345 or something like that when he was here. So, you know, he's just a really good hitter. He was down in the rookie ball with me too, and then came here, and he's always had great bat the ball skills and just hit line drives all over the ball field. So you know, he puts together great at bats. He's such a tough out at the plate, you know, and he just made himself into a really good professional hitter, and hopefully he can win that batting title up there. It'd be quite an accomplishment for him.
How much of his hitting was natural when you first got to work with him?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was. He's always had a good eye, always line drive stroke, you know, use the whole field. Starting to produce a little bit more power now as he's getting a little bit older and stronger, but you know, a lot of this is just natural abilities, short swing, you know, and he always competes up there at the plate and makes it a tough out on those pitchers.
And what is it like though, as a, you know, a former player yourself too, to see a guy like Arraez? Because, you know, we've talked again, you know, how much baseball's changed, where Luis, a hitter like him, is, they're kind of getting away from that. A guy that uses the whole field, may not have a lot of power, can, but it's almost like a Tony Gwynn type. For you as a hitting coach, what is it like to see a player like Luis, you know, kind of still have, something like that in baseball, where it still matters to have a player like Luis in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, for him to be able to go out and do that and not kind of change his game, stick to his strengths of what he does best, of line drives, get on base, not trying to change and become this power hitter that is going to be tough for him to do. So, he has good at bats, does stick to his strengths of hitting line drives all over the field and getting on base for those guys behind him to help drive him in.
And what, some of the guys that you've worked with, I mean, who always seems to, who's been impressing you lately on the Twins roster, some of the guys that you've worked with over the years when they were with the Colonels?
Yeah, I mean, Alex Kirilloff was here in 2018, and, he had an amazing half with us here, and I've always thought he's been a really good hitter, and now he's finally healthy, I think, and his last month or so up there with the big league team has been really good, and kind of showing the kind of hitter that I think we know he can be and help produce a lot of production up there at the big league level.
Yeah, big thing. When Alex came to Cedar Rapids, he was coming off Tommy John surgery. As a hitting coach, what's the, describe how, it's one thing when it's a pitcher, but when you have a hitter dealing with Tommy John surgery, what are some of the big challenges in trying to get somebody to come back from something like that, a hitter coming back from Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, it's a little bit different when a position player has it. I guess the main thing is just make sure it doesn't bother him too much when he's taking his swings and overdo it too much in the cage in his early work, and get him back in the field and just let him be comfortable and continue to, produce like he can.
And what I've always been impressed with is his opposite field power and using the whole field, and he's always had that power. We saw that in Cedar Rapids. How important is that, where he shows power, but he could take the ball the other way too?
Yeah, he does a good job of using the whole field also, kind of like a rise. But like you said, he has the power that he can drive the ball out to left field, left center, and then also turn on the ball sometimes too whenever he goes to right field. So Alex is another one of those good hitters, uses the whole field, line drive approach, but a little bit more power there, can use the whole field to hit home runs.
Brian Dinkelman, the Colonels manager, second half of the season right now, and seeing a lot of former Colonels on the Minnesota Twins roster having success as well. Brian, it's always great to talk to you. And you guys got a game tonight, and then you have a doubleheader Saturday because of yesterday's game being postponed. But it's always great to have you on the program, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again sometime soon later this season.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.